We're holding on Lamed Ches Amud Beis right after the Mishnah. So the Mishnah started talking about Shavua Sadayanin, about the Shavua that they're Mashviya, a person in Beis Din. As we learned yesterday, Midaraisa, there are three such cases where a person is made to swear in Beis Din, where he's a Shomer and then claiming that something happened to the object that would make him Potter, where he's a Modiv Mitzvah, so where there's one aid against him. Primarily we're focusing over here on Modiv Mitzvah, and the Mishnah had gone on to talk about the parameters of the concept of Modiv Mitzvah, when we apply it, when we don't. So the Gemara starts off, how are we mashbiya the person? What's the loshen and what's the method that we use? Omer of Yehuda, Omer of mashbiya noisi b'shvua ha'amur b'torah. We beswear him the kind of shvua that was said in the Torah. Dichtiv, as we find Avraham tells Eliezer when he wants to make sure that he's going to go to find the right wife for Yitzchak, he tells him Vashbiach Hashem Elokei Shemayim, I'm beswearing you by Hashem, the God of Heaven. So in other words, we actually use Hashem's name. We actually use Hashem's name in the shvua, and we tell the person you have to accept the shvua in the name of Hashem. So the Gemara says, we learned previously about Shavuos, about whether you need, about Bechlau, when a person made, we talked about Shavuos, at the previous parak, we talked about whether, what name, and then we talked about Shavuos Eidos, actually the parak before that, rather, we talked about as far as what constitutes a Shavuos, in terms of does the person have to use Hashem's name, or Kinui, etc. So, when we're saying that you have to use Hashem, the Kei Hashemayim, Omalei Ravina Laravashi, Kaman, well then, according to whose opinion is Rav saying that? Could Rav Chanina bar Idi d'omer b'inyan shema miyuchad? Is it only like Rav Chanina bar Idi who said that in the case of a shvua, it would have to, in general, it would have to involve shema miyuchad, the name Yudke Vavke? If not, then and only then is he chayev the korban. Only then is he chayev the korban for shvuas the edus or for shvuas apikadin. Otherwise, why over here? Do you need Hashem alakei Hashemayim? Just be swear him with a kinui or something. No, because you could even answer that the statement of Rav even is according to the Chachamim, the Amri B'Kinui, where we said that it's enough that he uses a Kinui and he's still Chayiv and a Shvua. But still, the Nafkamina, when we're saying over here, it has to be like the Shvua in the Torah, we don't mean as far as the actual name of Hashem that's used. It's true, you don't have to use Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, you can use some other name of Hashem, or you can even use a Kinui. But the Tzorach La'Pusi Chetziv Yedei, but he has to be holding a Chayfetz of Kedusha in his hand. Let's say for Torah or Tefillin. Now Avraham had Eliezer, he tells him, put your hand under my thigh, and as Rashi explains over there, he's having him swear by his bris milah. Now there is a slight difference, to be sure, that there he's not actually holding on to the chefs of Kedusha. Here we're talking about he actually holds the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin, but in other words, we do have to do that in order to make the Shavua stronger. There is discussion among Rishonim whether in our Mishnah, the Shvur that we're talking about in our Mishnah, whether in fact that's also included in that, or whether there are several we're going to learn as we go throughout the rest of the Masechta, there are different kinds of Shvurs. There are Shvurs Daraisa, and there are Shvurs Darabanan. In particular, Shvurs Hesis doesn't require Nikitas Chayfetz, but the Shvur of our Mishnah, which is Daraisa, does require Nikitas Chayfetz, holding on to a Sefer Torah or Tefillin or something. Tosfos wonders actually why it is that Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitu and Shavuos Pekodin, all the Shavuos that we've been learning throughout the Masechta, why are we not machmir and say that those require him to hold a Sefer Torah? So the Rosh gives an answer for it. That over here we want to scare him out of swearing, basically, as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about swearing, even a true shvur in Beis Din is a very serious thing, and we want to make sure that he actually realizes the gravity of it, so that if it's not a true shvur, he'll desist and he'll actually pay what he owes rather than swearing. So therefore, that's why we have him do Nikitas Chayfetz in order to impress on him the gravity of what he's about to do. Why Avraham had Eliezer use his bris milah for that. So Rashi mentions that he had gotten it through Tsar, and therefore it was particularly chaviv to him. There were sichas that talk about the idea that back then, before Matan Torah, most objects of mitzvahs did not actually have intrinsic kedusha, unlike nowadays. Let's say tefillin do, even when you're not wearing them. Then it was only before Matan Torah, El Yonim LaYod LaMata, etc. And therefore the tefillin only had kedusha as long as he's using them, whereas the bris milah is the only one, since Hashem directly gave him that mitzvah, then therefore it's the only one that has ongoing intrinsic kedusha, and therefore Avraham had Eliezer use that. Anyway, the point is, Rav Ashi is saying, and that's what we mean over here. That's what Rav means when we say we beswear him like Avraham, beswore Eliezer. We don't davka mean the name of Hashem. We mean there has to be the Kiddush Chafetz. Kiddush Rava. And in fact, this is like Rava says. The Omer Rava, Hai Dayan and Ashba, Ba'ashem Alekei Hashemayim. If a Dayan beswears a person in Beis Din using the name Hashem Alekei Hashemayim, but without having him hold a Sefer Torah or whatever, then that's wrong. Nasik Mishatob Advar Mishnah, then that's the equivalent of making a mistake in a clear matter that it says in the Mishnah, V'choizer, and then it has to go back, so now you would actually have to beswear him again the right way using tefillin, using a Sefer Torah or using tefillin. An interesting point that Achronim, in other words, even though he might argue that I took what Rav was saying at face value, and it means that all I need to do is use the words Vashem Alekei Hashemayim, but that's wrong. That's a misunderstanding of what Rav says Rava, and therefore we're going to need to do it over again. Achronim bring up a point, actually. I mean, why would we need to have him swear again? The Tumim on Shulchan Aruch brings up, if he swore truthfully, what's the point of a second Shavua? And if he swore falsely, then he's Choshed Allah Shavua, then we shouldn't have him swear again. So there's a couple of approaches to it. The Nesivus answers when he's choshed the shvuah, one answer, Tumim himself gives an answer that, listen, really, strictly speaking, we shouldn't have required a second shvuah, but it's a takanas chachamim that you have nikitas chayfetz, and therefore if he doesn't do it the right way, then we consider as though the shvuah didn't exist in the first place, and therefore the chachamim pretend as though the shvuah never happened, and say, our takana requires that you need nikitas chayfetz, and you didn't do that, and therefore you need to do that. And then the nesivus gives another answer that he would only be possible to shvuah d'rabbanan, and therefore, so now we can't passel him altogether for the shvuah just on the suspicion that he might have sworn falsely, and we're going to have him swear again. So that's how it is. So a shvuah in Beis Din has to be minikidas chayfetz. V'omer Papa, and Papa further says in this connection, Hai Dayana de Ashba b'tfilin, if a Dayan beswears a person in Beis Din while that person is holding tefillin rather than a Sefer Torah, is also Nasik Mishatol b'dvar Mishnah v'choizer. Then he would also be considered making a mistake in a matter of Mishnah, and we'd have to undo it again and then have him swear again holding the Sefer Torah. Tosfos points out Avraham used Mila with Eliezer, but that's the Gemara is going to point out. The Gemara is going to point out, first of all, Talmud Chacham is different, and second of all, listen, the fact is Avraham didn't have any other mitzvahs, so there's really no choice. But where there's a choice, your Papa says, then you have to use a Sefer Torah. However, the Gemara says, V'hilchsa kavasei de Rava, v'las hilchsa kavasei de Rapapa. The halacha is like Rava, but not like Rapapa. So like Rava, you have to be holding some kind of chayfetz of kedusha, but not like a papa. If there's nothing wrong if they did tefillin. Oh, not nothing wrong, but you don't have to undo it, at least. In Rava's case, where he's not holding the chayfetz at all, then you have to make him swear again. But the halacha is not like a papa. True, you should have him holding the Sefer Torah, and not just tefillin. But nevertheless, if he did with tefillin, then b'diyevet, it's fine. And the Gemara points out also Shvua Mu'umud, the person has to be standing when he makes the Shvua in Beis Din, Tamar Chacham. But Tamar Chacham Miyushav, but a Tamar Chacham can be sitting, because out of covered for his Torah, and because the Talmud Chacham also realizes the gravity of a Shvua, so therefore he can be sitting. Also, Shvua v'Sefer Torah, the Shvua, as we're saying, has to be taken while holding a Sefer Torah. Talmud Chacham, lach Talmud Chacham, lach Tchila b'Tefillin, but a Talmud Chacham to begin with, even with everybody else, we said only b'Diavad, because the halachas we said not like Rav Papa. So only b'Diavad, if they held Tefillin, is it good enough for a Talmud Chacham, even lach Tchila, you can have them hold Tefillin. So, for a regular person, you should have a Sefer Torah, but for a Talmud Chacham, you can use tefillin. Rashi goes on to say, first of all, l'chatchila, we do require a Sefer Torah, but also Rashi says that nowadays, he says, the Rishonim, the earlier generations before Rashi, were mevatel with Shavuot d'Oraisa. Because the punishment for it is very severe, as we're going to go on to say in the Gemara. So instead, they made a takana that instead the form of the Shavua should be an Orur in front of 10 people. They would gather 10 people together and say this person should be Orur, should be cursed if what he's saying is not true. And that's fine, Rashi points out, because we learned a few days ago that Orur is a Lashon that includes a Shavua as well, and therefore him doing that, and therefore them saying such a lotion will amount to a shavua. Various other Rishonim and Achronim talk about different other angles on exactly how they do a shavua nowadays in order to avoid this issue of the seriousness of a shavua, because now the Gemara is going to start talking about the serious consequences for a false shavua, and really actually the Chassam Sofer talks about it at some length. There's people usually say that even making a true shavua is an avera, and the Chassam Sofer actually discusses it at some length in view of the Gemara that we're going to talk about, now. So in general, we try to avoid the most serious kind of Shavua in Beis Din, and we try to make it less so. With that said, it is true. So throughout the generations, there always were people who were careful not to take a Shavua. The result of that would be, therefore, so that could mean somebody could make a false claim, which would require a Shavua, and they have no way out of it. Once in a while, though, there is at least one case on record, the case involving a Gabbai Tzedakah in Yerushalayim 100-odd years ago, where somebody made a claim against him, and the Rav of Yerushalayim at that time, Rav Shmuel Salant, actually required the Gabbai Tzedakah to swear, he's willing to pay, but no, it's not a matter of you personally anymore. It's a matter of there might be a chashad on you as a Gabbai Tzedakah, and you can't do that. You can't allow that people should have such a suspicion, and therefore we have no choice but to swear. But again, we do try to mitigate the severity of it, as Rashi is saying, by instead of a full-fledged tavua, do something less than that. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Shavuos HaDayanin Af Hi B'Lashon HaNemra. Shavuos HaDayanin is also said in its language. Now Rashi and most Rishonim learn that Bilashona means in any language that the person understands. So it doesn't have to be in Lashon Kodesh. It can be in any language that the person understands. There is the Rimi Gash holds that Davka Bilashona means Davka in Lashon Kodesh. The Rambam brings that point. He says that there are those who say that when Beis Din beswears a person has to be in Lashon Kodesh. The Rambam disagrees with that and says that no, it can be in any language. Nevertheless, he says the Dayanim, he says Batidinim usually do follow the Rimi Gash's Shitta, and they usually beswear the person, Beloshon Kodesh, but the Rambam points out, in that case, they do have to make sure ahead of time that he knows what he's saying, because otherwise he's going to end up swearing falsely, and Omrim Loi, and we tell him as follows, before he swears, Heve Yedea, be aware, Shekola Olam Kulin is Dazea, B'Shar Sh'Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai, Lois Tisa Hashem Hashem HaLakach HaLashon. When Hashem said it, HaSinai, do not take Hashem's name in vain, the whole world trembled. Marsha points out the name of Hashem is what keeps the world running. Here we have in Tanya these days in Shari Chavamuna where the Alter Rebbe makes the point that Hashem is constantly recreating the world, and you have the name Havaya and other Kim and so forth, and therefore, if a person is misusing Hashem's name, then he's causing the entire world, then he's breaking down the entire basis of that the world stands. So the entire world trembled, realizing the consequences of such a thing. And we continue warning the person, when it comes to all other Avedas in the Torah, Hashem says, Hashem, we say in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, Hashem can cleanse him. V'kan, but V'kan Nemar, but here, on the other hand, it says, Lo Yinak, Hashem will not cleanse him. So in other words, a person swears falsely, then Hashem is not going to clean up completely the consequences of the Avera, even if he does Tshuva. Then we continue, we tell him, V'chol Averis Shabbat Torah, Nifroin Mimenu, with all other Averis in the Torah, the Hashem punishes the person himself, but not necessarily his family. V'kan Mimenu Mimishpachta, here with a false Shavua, we tell this person that Hashem punishes not only the person himself who swears falsely, but his family. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Kehelis, Al titanes picha lachtias b'sarecha, do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, and your flesh means your relatives, the ones who are bosom, who are she'er b'sarecha, they're the relatives of your flesh. So therefore, in other words, so a false shvuah, so the pasuk is saying something that you do with your mouth, namely a false shvuah, is going to cause b'sarecha, is going to cause your family to get punished, Rechman al-Islam. The word besore in that pasuk means his relatives. As we find, the Torah said, the pasuk says, don't hide yourself from your flesh, meaning when your relatives need tzedakah, then don't hide yourself from them and give them what they need. Tosfos points out that the Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos points out that we learn from this pasuk that when a person makes a neder and doesn't keep it, then Rachman al-Fan, his young children die. But that would be only his young children. That's nedarim. Shavuos was saying over here are even more severe, and his entire family, even the adults, would also get punished by it as well. Then we continue, and the Beis Din continues and warns him, V'chol Averis Shabbat Torah Nifroin Mimenu, furthermore, all Averis in the Torah, the person himself is punished, V'kan, over here, it's not just the person himself, and it's not even just his family, Mimenu Mikol Olam Kulay, here the entire world is punished when a person makes a false shavua. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the Navi says to the Jewish people, Oloi v'chachesh, people are swearing and they're denying, and the pasuk goes on to list several other things that they're doing, and the pasuk continues, the next pasuk continues, because of that, the world is in mourning. So we see that the entire world suffers. Tosfos points out when we say kol averis shabbat Torah, here it's not so exact. There are, in fact, other ones as well. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that arayas alone are enough to destroy the world. But the point is, in other words, shavuos sheker, rather, we're talking about over here, is on the same par as that, and it can, in fact, it destroys the whole world. So the Gemara says, but wait, so the Gemara is going to bring the next pasuk in a second, but first the Gemara interjects, wait a minute, since the pasuk mentions Oloi v'chachesh, and it mentions a number of other averus as well, maybe the emad ovid lehulakulu, maybe the world suffers only if the person does all of those averus. How do you know that it means for any individual one of them? And the answer is, Lo Sakadaitach, you can't think that, Dichtiv, because a different pasuk says, Mipnei Ola Ovla Ha'aretz, because of false shavuos, the entire world is in mourning. So we see that a false shavuos itself is enough to cause the world to be in mourning, to destroy the world. So this is all part of the warning that we tell the person in Beis Din before he's going to take a shavuos, so you should realize this gravity of what he's about to do. And that way, if it's going to be a false shavuah, then hopefully he'll hold back. Different generations, they talk about different reactions to this. Like I said, you know, in later generations, it became more common for a person to say that he's not going to swear at all, even if it is a true shavuah. And that is why sometimes, as Rashi says, they had to reduce the severity of the shavuah precisely for that reason. Otherwise, even truthful claimants would be afraid to swear, and then cheaters can get away with anything. They can make any kind of claim, and the other person would have no recourse against it. But there are places, Tosfos points out that there are sometimes in places people were more careful with a false shavuah than even with averus such as stealing, and then other times not, and we find that other times people were rather careless with shavuos. Anyway, the Gemara says, Uchtiv, Now, after the pasuk that we quoted before, Olo Yachachesh, etc., then the pasuk continues, Al Kain Tevel Aretz, because of that, the earth mourns, the umlau Kol Yoshevva, and everybody who's in it is miserable and gets harmed. So therefore, so we see that a false shvur harms the entire world. So we warn the person that before he makes the shvur. Then we continue, we tell him, V'chol Averes Shabbat Torah. Furthermore, here's another difference. With all other Averis in the Torah, in Yeshle Schus, if a person has some kind of Schus, Torah L'Shnayim U'Shloisha Dirdus, then Hashem might suspend the punishment for even two or three generations, for the rest of his life, let's say. In the case of a Sota, you have, it can be suspended for a couple of years. Here in the case of other Averis, it can be even, as we're saying, for the person's entire lifetime. But over here with a false shvur, defrauding the men of the altar, person takes a false shvur, then Hashem is going to punish him right away. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem says, I have brought it out. Now the pasuk doesn't say what the it is, but Marsha points out that the previous pasuk refers to the previous pasuk says Zois ha'olah hayotzes. This is the curse that is coming out, and then shortly after that it says Hotzisiyah. Hashem says, I've taken it out. So Hotzisiyah Nu'um Hashem, I brought it out. Says Nu'um Hashem Tzvokas. So says Hashem, Uvor al Beis Ganav. It will come to the house of the Ganav. Which we'll explain in a second what we mean by Ganav. Vel Beis Anishba B'Shmi LaShoker, and it will come into the house of the one who swears falsely in my name. The Lone B'Soch Beisoy. It, the consequences of this will stay in his house. The chilatu, and it will destroy it, that's etza, that's avon of even the wood and the stones of the house. So first of all, the Gemara says, hotzeisia la'alter. The word hotzeisia means Hashem is saying, I'm taking it out right away. I'm not delaying it. Marsha explains, since the previous pasuk says, Zois ha'olah hayotzes, this is the curse that comes out, and then again, hotzeisia, it means that right away it's going to come, it means that right away it's going to come out. And furthermore, since it says El Beis Aganav, El Beis Anishva B'Shmi LaShoker, so it means to him himself, it's not going to wait for later generations like it might with other Averis. So right away, Uvor El Beis Aganav, the pasuk saying that it's going to come to the house of the Ganav. So who is the Ganav over here? Zad Goinav Das Abrius. That means somebody who misleads people, who steals people's das. He's not actually owed money by the other person, and he makes a false claim in order to cause him to take a shvur. So therefore, the pasuk is warning: don't think that you're not the one who swore. Therefore, maybe it won't be so severe. The pasuk is warning that person, Reuven, who goes and makes a false claim against Shimon and forces Shimon to swear. The pasuk is warning Reuven: you're not getting away with it so easily as well. So that's what the pasuk is warning that you can't go cause a person to take a shvur when you know that the basis for it is false. Here is where the Chassam Sofer brings, this is one of the proofs for this point that even making a true shvur is an avera, and then we're saying therefore that the person who causes the other one to take the shvur is also in trouble. When the pasuk continues into the house of the one who swears falsely in my name, that means kmashmoi. That means exactly what it sounds like. The one who makes a false shvur in response to the other one's claim. Whether this applies, by the way, only to shvuas eidus, or does it apply to shvuas victory as well? As it is, b'chlal, the basin starts by telling him that the whole world trembled when Hashem said, Hashem alakecha lashov. Strictly speaking, we're not talking about shvuas shov, but we're talking about shvuas sheker. But the shvuas shov is better known, but it's well known. The fact is, it applies to shvuas sheker as well. Anyway, so they tell him, so they'll beis anishvah b'shmila shokram k'mashmoi, means what it sounds like. The lona b'sech beis, when the pasuk continues, it will dwell in his house. That v'chilatu, That's eights of that's on him, and it'll destroy it, and it's wood and it's stones. That means, in other words, the whole house is going to collapse and is going to be destroyed as a result of the Shavuah. So we warn the person, all of that, holomadda, you see from that, dvorim chain eshu mayim machal anoysan, even things that are not destroyed by fire or by water, such as the stones, shavuot sheker machal anoysan, but a shavuot sheker destroys it. Marashah explains it on the basis of what we said before, that the whole world is created using Hashem's names and continues to exist because of Hashem's names, so therefore a person misuses Hashem's name, then he's taking away the chayos from that very wooden stones that make up his house, and therefore those end up getting destroyed. So this is the whole warning that we give the person before he's going to take a shavuah, so he should realize what he's getting himself into. Now, im omer eni nishba, at that point, if the person who was going to swear says, fine, I'm not going to swear, kotrin osim yad, then we immediately send him out of Beis Din. Rashi says, means in other words, we don't want him to change his mind and say, you know what, I will take the shavuah after all. So therefore, now that he doesn't want to take the shavuah, he's going to be chayev to pay whatever the claim was. The Tosfos discusses at some length, is that in fact so? Would there, because it seems from other Gemaras, there are actually cases where he could change his mind and come back to Beis Din and swear. So what good does it do actually to take him out of Beis Din and make him pay right away when it seems that he does have time to take it back? So Tosfos discusses that actually the reason why we send him out of Beis Din is just this way he should be embarrassed to retract. But nevertheless, lahalocha, he would be able to retract and come back into Beis Din and say, you know what, I decided I do want to swear after all, despite all these warnings. Okay. V'im omer hareini nishva, if he says, I'm going to swear, ha'omrim sham, omrim zelozeh, then everybody who's standing there in Beis Din says to one another, they quote the pasuk, suru no me'al olei ha'noshim ha'rishoy ma'ele v'gemer, turn away from the tents of these wicked people. As the pasuk finishes off, penti sofer b'chokhat oisam, because you might be punished through the aveda. So in other words, they warn one another, you know, hey, this guy is about to swear a shavuah, and we don't know, his shavuah might be true, but it might be false. And again, even swearing a true shavuah is not so simple, like we were saying, Lachsam Sofer says, that even making a true shavuah is also considered an avera, and therefore, so now they can say, suruna oleh anoshim arashoyim ha'ela. So actually, does that mean just because the person is going to take the shavuah, and what do we mean these people? Who are we referring to as these people? After all, the one who's making the claim may well be making a true claim. How can we consider him a rosha for that? So the snare on Shulchan Aruch brings that, in other words, it has to be that the Tezeya is demanding the Shavuah. In other words, he should think to himself, explains the snare, if he sees the other guy is ready to make a Shavuah, and now there's just been this warning about the severity of it, and after all, he, the Tezeya, knows that the claim is true, so he realizes the other person is about to swear falsely, then he should come to some kind of pshara with the other person and not require the Shavuah. So if he doesn't do that, then he deserves to be called the Rosha. And then vice versa, the one who is making the shavuah might well be saying a true shavuah, but nevertheless, it is, as we're saying, an aveda, and he should try to do something without having to make the shavuah and just make an agreement with the other person and then pay rather than having to take a shavuah. And like I said before, throughout the generations, there were many people who did that. Okay. So now, since the Tevea is demanding the Shavuah, and the Nitba is ready to swear, and there may well be a false Shavuah involved over here, so therefore the people in Beis Din warn one another, turn away from these people, because there's a false Shavuah involved. So now, when Beis Din is actually ready to give him to be swearing the Shavuah, Omnim Loi, they tell him, be aware that we're not being mashbia you according to your understanding of the shvuah, because like we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have the case of Kanya Derava, you have the case where one person claimed Then he returned the money, and what he did is he hid the money inside a hollow stick and then gave it to the other person to hold while he's taking the shavua, so that at the moment of the shavua, he could truthfully swear that he gave the other person the money. But we discussed in the Gemara as there was a possibility even that he might be able to redefine the actual terms themselves. Could he even maybe, for example, give the other person chips of wood and claim that in his definition they're coins? So we tell him none, nothing of the above. You can't get away with such things. Rather, the understanding of the Shavua is based on Hashem's understanding of what the Shavua means, of what the words of the Shavua mean, Valdas Beistin, and the way that Beistin understands it. So not your own, personal understandings of things. As we find, Moshe Rabbeinu did that, when he beswore the Jewish people to receive, to accept the Torah, and Avos Moav, Amalek tells them, be aware that I'm not being mashbia you based on your own das, so you can't misinterpret the words of the Shavua however you like, and we discussed in the Gemara extensively on Daf Chav Tes. Jews, after all, have Jewish brains that could come up with all kinds of creative ways to reinterpret the Shavua, so to make it that they didn't actually accept on themselves to keep the Torah. So Moshe tells them, never mind all of that. You have to take the Shavua following my understanding and following Hashem. He tells them, be aware, I'm not beswearing you on your own das, and that you're going to have the right to reinterpret it however you like. It's rather going to be based on the das of Hashem and on my das. My understanding and Hashem's understanding of what the Shavua entails, and therefore you're not getting away with any excuses that you didn't actually mean this, you meant something else. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, not only with you. So in the simple sense, we say it means not only with you, but with future generations. But in addition, it also means not only with you, meaning it's not up to you to determine what the Shavua means, it's rather up to Hashem and to me. So we tell this person this in Basin, here you're about to swear, let's say that you don't owe Shimon $100, or that you gave it back to him, or whatever the Shavua is going to be, you're not going to be able to afterwards say, but I interpreted the meaning of the Shavua differently. You know it's going to be based on our understanding and Hashem's understanding that it means exactly what it sounds like, that you actually returned it to him in the proper way. Okay. So now the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about more about the meaning of that pasuk. The pasuk continues after Moshe tells that to the Jewish people. He continues, ki es asher yeshnei poi. He says, it's not only with the ones who are here now that I'm making this shavua, but also with future generations. So, ainli ela oisin oimdin lahar Sinai. So if you only have the words, asher yeshnei poi, then it would only mean the people who are there by Har Sinai, strictly speaking, actually, this pasuk is an Arvus Moav, so whatever, then the people who were there at the time. How do we know that it also includes the future generations and Gerim who are in the future going to join the Jewish people, that they're also included in the Shavua to keep the Torah? Therefore, the pasuk says, and those who are not you. So that means the future generations and the Gerim. The Amiel of Mitzvahs for Kibbul Alei Mehar Sinai. Now you would only know from that that we'd be sworn to keep the mitzvahs that we were told at Har Sinai. Mitzvahs Asidus Lizchadish. What about mitzvahs that are going to be new mitzvahs that are going to be created in future generations? To go in Mikra Megillah. For example, reading the Megillah, Minayin, how do we know that those are included in the Shavua as well? Talmud Lema, Kimu V'Kiblu, therefore the pasuk says, Kimu in Megillah Esther, Kimu V'Kiblu, they affirmed and they accepted, meaning Kimu Masha V'Kiblu Kvar, they affirmed what they had already previously accepted. They had already accepted the Torah, and now they're accepting it again. Tosfos points out, actually, that the Gemara in Shabbos learns somewhat differently, that it means, in other words, that they reaccepted the Torah in the times of Ahasuerus. The Gemara also discusses in Megillah how we know that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh, and we learn that from the fact that it means another meaning of Kimu V'Kiblu is that they accepted and they affirmed in Shemayim what the Jewish people had accepted below, and how would anybody know what they accepted in Shemayim without Ruach HaKodesh? So the Torah Chaim points out that one thing is we can learn the drasha over here from the fact that it says, is it not just the words, but also the fact that it says it in the order Kimu V'Kiblu rather than the other way around. It's put as a Kiblu V'Kimu, and therefore we can also learn the point in our Gemara that it means, in addition, that they accepted on themselves, even in the midbar, the mitzvah that there would be that there would be a future mitzvah such as Mikra Megillah, and that they accepted it. What does that mean? How can you accept that mitzvah when the whole thing is not going to happen for 1,000 years? And the Chaius explains that since the Gemara explains in Megillah, the Chavim used the Yud Gimel Midos to learn that the Megillah is to be written in the first place, so therefore it's considered to be that it was also given at Har Sinai. And then you have the mitzvah of lois sosser, you have the mitzvah of not turning away from anything that the Chachamim say, so therefore it means, in other words, that the Gemara is, we're saying that the Jewish people accepted all the future mitzvahs that the Chachamim would come up with, and that includes the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. So now getting back to, so thus far the Braisa, so we had a long Braisa that discusses what they, we started at the bottom of the previous Amud, Tanan Abanan, that we tell that we, that Shavuos Adayonin, we said Vilshona Nemra, which again most Rishonim understand to mean that it can be said in any language, and then we went through and we went through the entire speech that they give the, that the Dayonim give the person before he's going to swear. So now let's analyze that Braisa. First of all, my afhi b'lashona nemra. What does that expression in the Braisa mean when it says that the when it says that it's said b'lashona? So k'ditzan, like we learn in the Mishnah and Sota, the elu nemonin b'chol loshon. The following things can be said in any loshon. Parsha Sota, when the kohen beswears the Sota, the parsha itself has to be written in loshon kodesh. But when he speaks to her, he says it in whatever language she understands. Vidui ma'aser, the declaration that the person says in Parshas Kisavo, when he's taken care of all of his trumas and maestras and everything for the last few years, bi'arti ha'kodesh min abayis. Krishma, that can also be said in any language, if he doesn't understand loshon kodesh. Utfila, and tfila, shmina esre, the Gemara discusses over there, it's not so simple, actually. A yochid can't necessarily daven in Aramaic. And somebody showed him learn that that applies to other languages as well, but the Gemara explains there are scenarios where a person can daven Shemina Esrei in any language. Birkas Hamazon, same thing. So all of those are b'chol loshon, b'chol manami. So now the Braisa is saying Shavuos Adayonin, afi b'loshonin emra, that Shavuos Adayonin can also be said in any language. Tosfos wonders then in that case, Taka, why is it not mentioned in the Mishnah? And then the Mishnah says they're elu nemor and b'chol loshon, implying that the list is exhaustive. But Tosfos says because that there's reason to mention those particular ones, that each one of them has something unique about it, so therefore it mentions them, but it's not intending to give a comprehensive list. In any case, again, according to most Rishonim, it does mean that Shavuos Adayonin can be said in any language, according to the Rimi Gasha Dafka, has to be in Loshon Kodesh. Now, Omamah, we said Omrim Loi, we tell the person in Basin, Hebi Yadeh Shekola Olam Kulin Yizdazeya, B'shasha Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Sisa Hashem Hashem Alakach HaLashav, the whole world trembled when Hashem said that Dibra. So, we have to figure out what's so serious about it. My time, Eleim HaMashim Beis Yahav B'Sinai, is it just because that mitzvah was given in Har Sinai? Well, then why Dafka that one? Eser Dibris Namis Yahav, the whole Aseret Dibris were given in Har Sinai, and the world didn't tremble on them. You're saying because it's very stringent. The question is, Umi Chamira, is it in fact so stringent more than any other Aveira? Now, in Beis Din, we try to tell him that yes, and we try to scare him out of doing the Shura. But the fact is, the Gemara says, V'atnan, or V'atanya, really, it's a Braisa, Eluhain Talos, what are considered the lighter Aveiras, where a person just does Tshuva, and right away Hashem forgives him. So the definition of kalis eser v'lois eser eses and lois eser chutzme where the lois eser doesn't involve chorus of mrs. Bastin chutzme lois sisa, with the exception of lois sisa. So even though lois sisa doesn't involve chorus of mrs. Bastin, tshuva is not enough. But then chamuras, what are considered the more stringent averus, where a person needs more than just tshuva. Some of them, the Gemara discusses in Yoma, need tshuva and Yom Kippur. Some of them need tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurin. The Chil Hashem requires all of those plus misa. So what are chamuras? Chrisus or mrs. Bastin, v'lois sisa. Is anything that's chayv chorus or mrs. Bastin, as well as lois sisa. Veloisisa imahen and loisisa together with them. So the point is, yes, kisisa is a very loisisa is a very serious avera, but it's not more serious than krisis or mrs. Bastin. And yet the world didn't tremble when Hashem said don't eat chaylev. The world didn't tremble when Hashem said don't commit arayas or any of the other things that are chayev misa or kores. Why dafka by loisisa? So the reason is elokid katani timer. The reason is because of the brayza goes on to say v'chol averus from a torah nemenake v'kan nemo v'loyinake, because all other averus the torah says Hashem will forgive and clean up completely when the person does tshuva. And here not, so therefore the world trembled that there's such a serious, not just that such a serious avera, but also that unlike all the other ones, the effects of it can't be cleaned up by tshuva. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, that's the question. What do you mean? The fact is, by other averus, it also says lo yinaka. By the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, it says v'nake lo yinaka. Simple sense, it means Hashem will not completely cleanse. So therefore we see other averus as well are not completely cleaned up. So the answer is Ahumi Boiler the Chidr Belazer. That the Lo Yanaka we use to learn what Rabbi Lazer says. Tanya Omer Rabbi Lazer Omer. Ef Shaloyim of Anake. You can't say that Hashem always cleans up Averus. Shari Nema Lo Yanaka, because the pasuk says Lo Yanaka. Hashem does not cleanse. The Ef Shaloyim of Lo Yanaka, but he can't say that it means that Hashem doesn't cleanse Averus and there's always some after effect left of it. Shari Shakran Nema Vanake, because the pasuk says Vanake. Hashem does cleanse. Now, in Poshik Shat, it can mean Vanake Lo Yanaka, that Hashem, it just means it's like an intensifier, like all the other double expressions in the Torah, that it means that Hashem will not completely cleanse Vanake. As far as cleansing Lo Yanaka, Hashem will not completely cleanse, and it would mean, according to that, it would mean that no Avera is completely cleaned up, but the Gemara is understanding that no, these are two different midas, especially since Menake, after all, is part of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So therefore, so Rabbi Elazar explains, Menake hu lashovim, so okay, so how do we reconcile it? Menake hu lashovim, ve'enim menake l'sha'enim shovim. Hashem cleanses those who do tshuva, so some of them, for some Averas, it's forgiven right away. For others, as we said, you need Yom Kippur, or Yisurin, or whatever, but nevertheless, Hashem does eventually cleanse and then clean up the effect of the Avera completely. Ve'enim menake l'sha'enim shovim. Hashem does not cleanse those who don't do tshuva. Meanwhile, that's by other Averas. So by other Averas, the person did tshuva, then eventually right away, or later on, with other factors, as the case may be, then Hashem completely cleans up the effect of the Avera. Now we're saying the Shavuot Sheker is not so. Always there's going to be an after effect of it, even if he did tshuva. So that is why the world trembled, realizing the consequence of the false Shavuot, that it never gets completely cleaned up. All right, the Brai said, continued, Kol Averus from a Torah and the Froin Mimenu, with all other Averus in the Torah, Hashem, with all other Averus in the Torah, Hashem punishes only the person himself. V'kan mimenu mimishpachta. And here we're saying not only the person himself, but his family gets punished. So the question is, again, v'chol Averus from a Torah mimishpachta loy. You're telling me by other Averus, the person's family doesn't get punished as well. V'hoktiv. We have a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim when it talks about a person who offers his children to Moloch. The pasuk is v'samti anias ponai bo'ishahu uv'mishpachta. Hashem says, I'll put my face, meaning I'm going to pay my full attention to punish that person and his family. Vitanya, and we learn in a brayso, wise family. Amar Rav Shimon, Im hu chot mishpatei machados, he may have done the avera. What did his family do wrong? Loi malach, it tells you, ein lecha mishpacha sheyesh ba moiches she'ein kol moichsin. You won't find a family that has a tax collector in it, and tax collectors in those days generally were dishonest and would take a lot more than they're supposed to. We learned about this in Sanhedrin, that generally speaking, tax collectors are poseleiters for that reason. Once in a while, the Gemara mentions, in Bechorus, I think, it mentions the father of Reb Zera was scrupulously honest and would not take even a penny more than he's supposed to. You have to realize the way that the tax system worked in those days wasn't like nowadays where everybody files their own tax return. Back then, the idea was that the king would decide, we need X amount of taxes from this province or from this city or whatever, and he'd sell the rights to collect the taxes that were there to a certain person or to a certain group. They would have the right to collect the taxes, and they could take whatever extra they took, they could keep for themselves. So it was an obvious thing where people could, many people who would get into that kind of job would take advantage of that and take whatever they could. So therefore, so in general, in halacha, a tax collector is considered a dishonest ganav and gazlan. So now, Rav Shimon is saying, you won't find a family that has a tax collector in it, she'en kula moichsin, where all of them are not tax collectors like him. And similarly, V'sheyesh v'listim, she'en kol listim. Similarly, you won't find a family where there's a robber in it, where all of them are not robbers, v'neshem mechafen olav, because they cover up for him. They try to hide what he's doing wrong. So we see, therefore, and therefore the pasuk is saying, the same way, the person worships Moloch, then very likely his family is involved as well, and therefore they get punished. So we see that there are other averus as well, where the family gets punished. Well, the Gemara answers, Hosam Medina Achrina. There, what it is they're punished in a different way. Their punishment is lesser than the person who did the Aveira himself, as we're going to learn in the case of Moloch. Hocha Medina Dine, but over here, we're saying that, they would actually get the exact same punishment as him. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Vichrati Oise Matamad Loimer. Why does the Pasuk say by the person who worships Moloch, that I will cut him off? So the feature name of Samti Anias Ponai, since the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to turn my intention to that family. So Yochol Kolam Shvacha Kulabi Kardis. You would think that means the entire family is Chayiv Kardis for his Avera. Tamad Lima Oiso. Therefore, the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to give him Kardis, implying Oisib he Kardis, Vole Kolam Shvacha Kulabi Kardis. So he's going to get Kardis, but not the rest of the family. As Rashi mentions on the pasuk, they're going to suffer yisurim. So now we're telling the person when it comes to a shvuas shav, then the family is actually going to suffer the exact same punishment as well. Therefore, again, that should hopefully dissuade him from taking the shvuah if it's going to be a false shvuah. All right, the Gemara continues. The Brice had said, V'chol Averis Shabbatar Nefroin Mimenu. We said any other Avera in the Torah, the person himself is punished, and his family, like we said. V'kan Mimenu Mikolo Olam Kuloi, and here it's from him and the entire world. Shanema Ole V'chacha Shachtiv Arkein Tevala Oretz, and the Gemara had asked, so here actually, Hagos Agra takes it out, Uliu and the Braisa, and says that whole discussion back and forth of how we know that it means that particular one, that didn't belong there in the Braisa, rather it belongs here in the Gemara. Again, the Pasuk had said that people swear and they're denying, and it says, Al-Kain Tavala Aretz, therefore the entire earth is going to mourn, but the question was, maybe the Pasuk is implying that only if people do all those Averis, of which it lists in the Pasuk, which it goes on to mention several other Averis. It mentions, people are murdering and stealing and doing Niuf. The answer is and again you have a different pasuk than Yirmiyah that says just because of a false shvuah the world is in mourning, so we see that a false shvuah by itself, it has that effect. Elsewhere, by the way, Gemara in Kiddushin has a different take on that pasuk, but since it says porosu, they've broken through the boundaries, and the pasuk continues, arkein tevel aretz. From that we learn that arayas themselves, that niyuf itself is enough to destroy the world, and therefore the Gemara warns over there that if a person is not familiar with the ins and outs of Gittin and Kiddushin, he shouldn't get involved with them, because then he's going to end up causing an eshes ish to remarry inappropriately, etc. But anyway, here or Gemara is taking a different view of it. That's Dafka the Shavuos Sheker that does that. So the Gemara says, still, v'chol Averis Shavatar v'chol Olam Loi. You're telling me with other Averis the rest of the world is not punished? The Pasuk says in the Torah, v'choshlu Ishva Achiv, one man will stumble against another, which means Ishva Avoin Achiv, one person will stumble because of the other person's Avera. Which teaches us that the whole Jewish people are interconnected. Every person is a guarantor for the other, and therefore one person's Aveda affects everybody else. So we see that's not just Shavuos Sheker. The answer is because there that pasuk is talking about where they had the ability to be moicha and they didn't. So therefore, Hashem holds them responsible because Ko Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. But over here, we're talking about even if they weren't able to be Moicha, even if they didn't have the opportunity to be Moicha, then nevertheless, Hashem is punishing even the ones who didn't have that opportunity. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have answered just as well to say that again, that with V'chosh Luish V'achiv, with other Averis, means they get a lesser punishment, and here it means they get the same one, but the Gemara would rather explain that no, they're not punishable at all if they didn't have the chance to be moicha. But that's the difference with the shvuos sheker. It doesn't matter moicha or not. Nevertheless, the effect of it affects them as well. All right, the Gemara says, "My ikubin rishoyim de mishpachta the rishoyim d'alma." So then, what's the difference then between the rishoyim of this person's family and other rishoyim who are not from his family? If we're saying, in other words, that we're saying that his family is considered responsible because they could have been because they're part of his family and they have more of an ability to be moicha in him, but the friend, then what's the difference between them and rishoyim of the rest of the world where they're also being punished? So the answer is and also what's the difference between tzaddikim de mishpachtoi with tzaddikim de alma, and what's the difference between the tzaddikim in the family of a person who doesn't have avera and tzaddikim of the rest of the world? So the answer is who b'sha'ar averas the dinei rishoyim de mishpachtoi b'din chomer. The difference is like this: with other averas outside of shavuos sheker, the person himself is going to get whatever punishment it says in the Torah. The other Rishoyim and his family who could have been Moicha, they were going to get Din Chomer. They're going to get a stringent punishment, not as serious as his, but nevertheless, it's going to be serious enough. Like we said, by Moilach, for example, they'll get Yisurim, let's say. Rishoyim da'alma, the Din HaKal. As far as Rishoyim of the rest of the world, where they're not directly involved with this and they weren't in a position to be Moicha, they're going to also get an effect of it, but it's going to be a much lesser punishment. With tzaddiki, the hocha b'hocha, as far as the tzaddikim, both of his family and outside his family, then the p'tiri, they're going to be potter completely. So by other averus, in other words, the effect only is limited to the rishoyim and the ones who could, whether it's from his family who could have been moicha and weren't, or whether the rest of the world, and they'll get various lesser punishments than he did. So, on the other hand, when it comes to a shvur, who or the shoyim nemeshpachte b'dinei, he and the rishoyim and his family are getting the exact same punishment. As we said before, that they're that's the difference between a shvur and everything else. They're getting the exact same punishment. Or the shoyim da'alma b'din chomer, and the rishoyim of outside his family are also going to get a stringent punishment, not as stringent as his, but still serious enough. The tzaddiki, the hocha b'hocha, the din akal, and even the tzaddikim in his family who could have been moicha, and who were moicha, and even the rest of his family are still going to get some kind of punishment. It's just going to be a din hakal. It's going to be a lesser punishment, but still a minor punishment. But nevertheless, a punishment. So that's the difference between Shavuos Shav and between Shavuos Sheker and everything else. That the effects of it are so much more severe, and it applies even to the tzaddikim. So Maharsha wonders why that should be. I mean, the fact is that tzaddikim they weren't able to be moicha. So why shouldn't we at least distinguish between the tzaddikim of his family and the tzaddikim of the rest of the world? So such as the Maharsha leaves the question open. The Chassam Sofer explains it as part of this business about that even a true shvur it has such serious consequences. How much more so a false one, and therefore it ends up going far beyond him. So the Gemara continues, getting back to the Braisa. So we said, Im Oma Eni Nishba Poitru Nois Miyad, if he says, I'm not going to swear, then we pacter him right away, as Rashi had said, so that way he can't change his mind. Or as Tosfos had brought from Rabbi Natan, technically he could change his mind, but this way we want to get him out of there as fast as possible so that he'll be embarrassed to change his mind. And we said that, but if he says, I'm going to swear, then everybody says to one another, remove yourselves now from the tents of these wicked people. So the Gemara says, why are we calling on both Rishoyim? The Shlema, who becomes Shtaba Koybi Sura. The one who's swearing, if it turns out to be a false Shavua, it deserves to be called a Rosha. Because it's a false shvur, or as the Gemara is going to say, even a true shvur, there's still he shouldn't be doing it. Ela hu dekamash balei amai. Why are we calling the one who beswears him a rosha? And the answer is ahu miboyla the chiditanya. Because we need the reason why we call it teveya a rosha is based on the following brisa. Reb Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, when the pasuk says shvur Hashem tia ben shnehem, the pasuk says the shvur of Hashem will be between the two of them. So the simple meaning, in other words, is that there's a case between them and Beis Din, and there's a shvua. But why does it have to say that? It means malamet shechola shvua al shnei, means the punishment for the shvua falls on both of them. So therefore, so even if it was a true claim, nevertheless, why did you? So Rashi explains, still though, why did you give your money? Why did you lend your money? You do whatever to somebody who's untrustworthy, and you're going to end up having to be swear him in Beis Din. So therefore, in other words, so the teveya himself should suffer some consequences because of the fact that he didn't think ahead and brought things to the stage over here where a shavua is necessary. So the Gemara finishes off. So therefore, they can both, in a certain sense, be called Rishoyim. So again, are we talking about whether in fact the Shavua is true or not? Are we talking about even when there's true Shavua, then nevertheless the Mashbiya should be punished for causing an unnecessary Shavua? And there's a discussion about that we were talking about before. Hagos Maimonides has a long discussion about it and says that it might actually apply whether the Shavua was true or false. And no, we're saying that really it means, in other words, somebody's getting punished. Either it was a false Shavua and therefore both of them are suffering for the fact that a false shvua was made, or was a true shvua, and therefore the mashviya is in trouble because he brought things to a state where there needs to be a shvua in the first place. So that's why we say Rishoyim in the plural. Okay, the Brai said, finished off, so when they be swearing, we tell them, heavy yadea, shalai al-dait, be aware that it's not based on your das, the meaning of the shavua. So the Gemara says, lomalei the memory lehochi, why does Beis Din have to say that? And the answer is, mishum kanya de rubber, because like we had the case before about the stick in rubber's Beis Din, where the person put the money inside a hollow stick and then went and gave it to the other person and took the shvua and then the guy broke the stick and all the money scattered out. So then we see that in fact it was literally true in the sense that he had given him the money, but it was false in the sense that the other person hadn't known that. And if the stick hadn't broken, he would have returned the stick and been none the wiser. And therefore we warn the person in advance, you can't take the shvua having in mind such things. Tosfos, by the way, in connection with that story earlier, points out that Rava knows the din, that you have to tell him, I'll die tainu, I'll das beis din, so he shouldn't have been able to get away with it. What it is the guy went ahead and did the shvua before Rava even had a chance to give him this whole warning and beswear him and everything, and therefore he thought he could get away with it, and in the event he didn't. Fine, so that concludes the analysis of the Braisa. So this is what we warn the person, and now we understand the various parts of this warning. So we hope that he won't swear, but if he does, then he swears, and then you have the various dinim that we're going to talk about now in the rest of the Masechta. So the Mishnah had said, "Ataina shte kesef." We said, when it comes to moedim amiktas, the minimum size of the taina has to be at least 2 silver coins, which is to say 2 ma. And then the Mishnah had said that the denial has to be at least a pruta. So let's talk about what that means. Omar Rav, so Rav explains, it means kfiras taina, shte kesef, means that the denial is within the 2 silver ma. In other words, Rav says that he has to be admitting to at least a pruta, as the Mishnah had said. Now 2 ma equals 64 pruta. So according to Rav, in other words, it's enough that Reuven is claiming 64 pruta, and the other person counterclaims and says, I owe only 1 pruta, and I'm denying the remaining 63. So that's Rav. Shmuel Amar Taina Asma Shtei Kesef. Rav says the denial has to be full 2 ma, meaning, in other words, according to Rav, you need at least 65 prutas to be involved over here. And then the person says, I owe only 1 pruta, and therefore the denial is 64 prutas. That's the 2 full silver ma. That's the minimum Rav says, that the denial itself has to consist of 2 silver ma. Or Shmuel, I'm a taina asma, shtei kesef. Shmuel says, no, all it has to be is the claim is 2 silver ma, vafilu le kofra, elabit pruta. So even if he denies only one pruta or admits to only one pruta and is koifer on the rest, chayev, then he would be chayev a shvua. So in other words, according to Rav, the minimum claim has to be 65 prutas, and according to Shmuel, the minimum claim has to be 64 prutas. So the halacha in the end, by the way, the Gemara is going to end up. We're going to end up seeing the halacha is like Rab. Sam Sofer has a cute vote on it. He brings from earlier Sfarim. He brings some relevant Gematuyo. It's involved over here about 65 being the minimum thing. The pasuk says Has Tolbaser Has Miponav Kol Haaretz. Be silent, the whole earth before Hashem. Where that pasuk has to do with the Shavuos Shav and the consequences of it. So that's a remez to this idea that a shavua has to involve a minimum of 65 prutas. Later on in the perek, we're going to learn that with a keli, it doesn't need to be worth 2 silver ma, just you need 2 kalim, and the Chassam Sofer brings that the word keli is gematria 60, and then it has 3 letters, so that equals 63, and since you need 2 kalim, then there's your 65, and he continues, if you add together, hey samach, together with the word kli, then you have the word haksil, which means the fool, which refers to the person who swears falsely and ignores all of these warnings that we said so far. So let's work through the machlokas, where again, according to Shmuel, that's not necessary, because all you need is 64 prutas in the claim, and then he denies or admits part of it, whereas according to Rav, it has to be that the full denial is at least 2 silver ma. So, Omar Rava. So Rava points out, Deka Masnissin Kavasei de Rav. When you look at the wording of our Mishnah, it fits better with Rav's opinion. Ukroi Kavasei de Shmuel. But when you look at the actual Psukim, then it fits better with Shmuel's opinion. Now, of course, neither one of them can argue with the Mishnah or with the Pasuk. But in other words, Rava is saying that the wording, at least on the straightforward understanding, fits better with one versus with the other. But each one, of course, could understand the Pasuk his way or the Mishnah his way. Namely, Deka Masnissin Kavasei de Rav, or Kroi Kavasei de Shmuel. Deka Masnissin Kavasei de Rav, de Katoni, because the Mishnah had said, a Taina Shtei Kesef, Vahidah Shava Prutta. The Mishnah had just mentioned that the Taina has to be 2 silver coins, and that the Hoidah, the admittal, has to be a Shava Prutta. Kfiras Taina Prutta de Katoni. Now the Mishnah had not said anything about the minimum size of the Kfira. So now, according to Shmuel, since the kfira has to be at least a pruta, then the Mishnah should have said also, not only the haidah has to be at least a pruta, but so does the kfira, the denial has to be. So the Mishnah fits better, the simple, the straightforward wording of the Mishnah fits better with Rav's opinion. Shmuel, of course, would explain that it means, the Ritzva explains that he would just say, and the Mishnah mentions, haidah b'pruta, but we understand that it means the same thing, kfira as well. After all, it's the haidah that causes the shvua, not the kfira, so therefore the Mishnah would focus on that. Utnanami. Furthermore, we have a Mishnah in Bav Metzia that's relevant to this. The Mishnah says there, Haidah b'pruta. It mentions a number of dinim where it has to be a minimum of pruta, and one of them is the amount that a person admits, and therefore is chayav shvur is a pruta. The ilu kfira b'pruta like a tani. Again, it doesn't say that the kfira has to be at least a pruta. So again, the wording of that Mishnah fits better with Rav's opinion. Shmuel would say there's no reason for the Mishnah to mention the kfira as well, but still the straightforward meaning of it fits better with Rav's opinion. Continues Rava, Ukroi Kavasei de Shmuel. On the other hand, the Psukim, on the surface meaning of the Psukim, fits better according to Shmuel. Dichtiv, because one of the cases where the Torah says that a person has to swear, Ki yitin isha re'eo kesef ha'kelim l'shmer, person gives to somebody else money or kelim to watch. And the point of mentioning Kesef HaKelim, Ma Kelim Shnayim Af Kesef Shnayim, the same we learn from that, that just as Kelim is plural, so it means a minimum of 2 Kelim, the same way Kesef has to be a minimum of 2 coins, and Ma Kesef Dava Choshu, Af Kol Dava Choshu, we learn from that in turn that just like Kesef is considered something important, and the Chachamim worked out that the minimum amount, there are smaller silver coins, but the Chachamim figured out that for this purpose, a Dava Choshu is considered a minimum of ma. So ma kesef, davar choshev, I've called davar choshev, the same way anything else has to be something important. Now Rashi brings, there was a gerusa af kelim davar choshev, that the pasuk is telling you, the hekesh is telling you that the kelim have to be something important. Rashi says not so. Later on, we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that the kelim can be even tiny little needles or something that are worth next to nothing. So what it means is whatever it is outside of kelim has to be davar choshev. For example, he's claiming wheat or whatever has to be at least a certain minimum value. So in other words, vika omer rachmana ki hu zeh. Now, so the Torah is saying that there's a taina in this connection, and the pasuk says ki hu zeh, implying this is what I owe you, but that is not what I owe you. Ki hu zeh, I admit that this is what I owe you, but no more than that. So we see. So now the pasuk only mentions. So the pasuk mentions the 2 mois of silver, and it doesn't say anything about the amount of the denial. So therefore, that fits better with Shmuel's opinion. That fits better with Shmuel's opinion that there's no minimum that as long as the total claim was at least 2 ma, then the kfira just has to be a pruta, but we don't care whether the kfira is full 2 ma or not. So Rav would answer, Ahumi boyle lahidab mixas atayna. That posik, ki who's there, is talking about the whole concept of modiv mixas. You need that posik, to tell you about modiv mixas. So you don't have anything about it to say that it means that there's no minimum amount of kfira. Or Shmuel would answer back, ksiv hu, ksiv zeh. Yeah, but the posik says 2 expressions, hu and zeh. So therefore, so you learn from that. You learn both. So it means that if he's koifer some of it and admits some of it, then he's chayev. But the other word is telling us that there has to be a certain minimum amount, that there doesn't have to be a certain minimum amount of a kfira. It's enough that the taina was 2 silver coins, and we don't care what the size of the kfira is, provided that there's a kfira or a hajah of at least a pruta. So the Gemara says, Rav would answer back, no, the reason why you need 2 words, chad lahidah mixas a taina, 1 teaches you that you need the hidah to be part of the taina, and it can't be kofa hakol, v'chad lahidah mimina taina, and the other one would teach us that it has to be the same min, like we learned in the Mishnah, that for example, if Reuben claims you owe me wheat, and Shimon counterclaims I owe you barley, then he's potter from a shavua. So Rav says you need the 2 words in the pasuk to tell us both those points. Shmuel would answer back. Shmuel can answer back. Listen, you don't need a second one for that. Lav memela shamet minei dechosra latayna. Listen, from that itself, you see that you don't need a kfira, you don't need a denial of 4 silver coins. Dechosra latayna. After all, when the Torah is telling you that the claim is 2 silver coins, and now he's denying and admitting part of it, of necessity, it means that he's not denying or admitting to the 4 silver coins. So you see from that, that it's enough that it just adds, that the claim just has to be 2 silver coins. Fine. In other words, he would say to Rav, so the question is, Shmuel is going to ask on Rav, the fact is, never mind, Hadom and Minat Taina or not, the fact is, fine, you have to have a posik to tell you Minat Taina, but at least you see from the posik, you don't see where the posik is saying anything about a kfira of Tuma, so where is Rav getting? So ultimately, Rav has to explain the posik somehow. How is he going to explain the posik to make it that you have to be that the denial is full 2 silver ma, meaning like we said, according to Rav, you have to have 65 pruta in the taina at least, and he's moida on 1 pruta and koifer on the rest. The fact is, whether he says you need one word in the pasuk or 2, whether you need to learn separately, minat taina or not, but nevertheless, the fact is, the pasuk is implying that just the claim was 2 silver ma, and that's that. So the Gemara says, fine, ela omalach Rav, so you're right, rather Rav is going to learn like this. Kesef, ki osim ikra l'kfira hudasa. When the Torah says kesef, then, and we learn from that that it means 2 silver coins because we're comparing it to kalim, and there are 2 kalim by definition because kalim means 2, and therefore kesef means 2. Ki osim ikra, to begin with, when the Torah writes the word kesef, is to tell us the amount, and the amount of the kfira. That word kesef in the pasuk is not telling us the size of the claim, it's telling us the size of the kfira. the imkain, because if it was only telling us the size of the claim, like Shmuel says, then Rav says, then the Torah could have only said that he gives to somebody else kelim to watch, or didn't have to say the word kesef at all. And we would say, you would generalize from that. The same way as kelim means two, the same thing, anything else, it would have to be two. And that would include silver, that would include coins. So kesef, so Rav says, why does it need to say kesef specifically? So therefore, since you don't need it to tell us about the taina, because the taina itself, you could have learned just from the word kalim. Therefore, Rav says the word kesef must be teaching you about the kfira, that the kfira needs to be at least two, needs to be at least two ma. And therefore, the original claim has to be larger than that. Ushmuel, what will Shmuel answer to that objection? He would say no, because ikas of Rahman of kalim, but ikas of kesef. If the Torah said only kalim without the word kesef, have amina, then fine. You would think, ma kalim shnaim af kol shnaim, fine. It means, taka, you need two of them. You would know that. But the fact is, abal dava choshev leiba inin, you wouldn't know that it means something important. So then how would we know, for example, and in the case of kalim, it doesn't have to be, like we're going to learn tomorrow, that, for example, you can have a person claims, you owe me two needles, and that's enough, and then the other person is kofer in one of them, that's enough to trigger a shvuah. So maybe you wouldn't need two ma, it could be two pruta, it could be two whatever. So kamash malon, therefore the Torah says kesef to teach us that it has to be a davar choshuv. So now that you have that, then as you only have, so the Torah needs to say kesef to tell us that it needs to be a davar choshuv. That doesn't tell us that the actual kfira needs to be a davar choshuv. So as long as the original claim was a davar choshuv, then Shmuel says that's enough. So Tosfos discusses various aspects of this sugya over here in some detail over here. So Rav would say basically that from the word kalim we can learn both. We can learn that it does need to be at least two, and we can also learn the point that it needs to be a davar choshuv as well. So with kalim, in other words, he would say, listen, a needle may not be a shava pruta, but it is important for its job. You can't sew without a needle, for example. So therefore, and you can make an expensive piece of clothing with it, for example. So therefore, kalim in and of themselves can be considered a davar choshuv. So Rav considers then by the same token, you can learn from that for coins that they have to, or anything else, that it has to be a davar choshuv. Whereas Shmuel doesn't agree with that. So therefore, he says that the word kesef is needed just to tell us davar choshuv, and therefore you don't have anything in the pasuk to imply that the kfira, that the denial has to be two silver coins. All right, so the Gemara says, let's start analyzing, let's start bringing proofs. Well, now that we understand Rav and Shmuel's respective opinions and where they get them from, let's start asking questions on them. Tnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shtei kesef yesh li biyadcha. Reuven says, you owe me two silver coins. And Shimon answers, Ein lecha biyadi ala pruta. I owe you only a pruta. Potter, so we say he's potter from a shvuah. So my timer. Now, why should he be potter? Lav mishum dechaser lataina. Wouldn't it be because it's lacking in the denial? In other words, because he's saying you owe me two silver ma, which is 64 pruta. The other one is saying that I owe you only one pruta. So the denial is only 63 prutas. And according to Rav, that's not good enough to be mechayev shvuah. Well, then it's yuv to the Shmuel. So then that would be a contradiction on Shmuel. The answer is Amalok Shmuel. Shmuel will answer you back. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. Misavet Shtava Katani. You're thinking the Mishnah is talking about the value of the two ma versus the pruta. No, Davka Katani. The Mishnah means, well, he's actually saying that you owe me two silver ma, not coinage of two silver ma, but the weight of silver equal to two ma. And the other person replies that I owe you only a piece of copper in the value of a pruta. So mashatane lehoydaloy. So this is the case of hoyda shaloy minatina. He's claiming silver. The other one is counterclaiming copper, and therefore that's not valid motive mitzvah. So the Mishnah is not saying that he's potter from a shvuah because the kfira is not big enough, but rather because they're two different metals. So in other words, the Rishonim explained that Ramban, the Rashba explained that basically that's the question. When a person says Shtei Kesef, what does he mean? Does he mean the value of two silver coins, or does he mean that amount of silver? Okay. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, well, if that's how you're going to understand the Mishnah, Ema Sefer, then what about the Mishnah continues? Shtei Kesef, a Pruta, Yeshli Biyotcha, where Reuven says, you owe me two two silver coins plus a pruta, and the other one replies, Ein l'chabiyadi al pruta, I owe you only a pruta, chayev, so then he's chayev ashvua. So iyamet b'shlema shove, if you're going to talk about that, the Mishnah is talking about the value of it, the monetary value, like Rav says, well then, mishum hochi chayev, then that explains why he's chayev, because now you have hodom and minatayna, because coins are coins, he's claiming the value of at least 65, he's claiming the value of 65 pruta. The other one is replying only one pruta, and therefore he's chayev. Eli yamet davka, but if you're going to tell me, Shmuel, that we're talking about in the Mishnah earlier, and the Pashtos in this case as well, that we're talking about the actual metals, am I chayev? Why would he be chayev? Masha tane lehoduloy, masha hoduloy lehtane. Because then again, you have it's not hodom and minatayna. He's claiming silver and copper, and the other one is replying that I owe you only copper. Well, the Gemara says that midihu taima elul Shmuel. Listen, the whole question is specifically on Shmuel's opinion. Ha'omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel, but Rav Nachman says that Shmuel himself says tanich hitinu sodin v'hodolei be'achad mehen, that if Reuven claims from Shimon wheat and barley, and Shimon replies that oh, you're only barley, chayav, only wheat, chayav, then he would be chayav shvur. So therefore, so Shmuel will explain the Mishnah according to his shitta. Reuven is claiming copper, silver and copper. Shimon replies copper only. Yes, that's enough to be mechayev and meshruah, but the Mishnah is not implying that the kfira has to be a full two silver coins. It's enough that the kfira is not, it's enough that the kfira is it's enough that he's modu b'michtas, and therefore he's chayev meshruah. So, we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll continue this discussion and continue working out how the Mishnah can be under, how the various parts of the Mishnah can be understood according to Rav or according to Shmuel.